biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me now, Jessie May Wolf. She is the founder of Heart Rise Movement. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We've met. I just love your energy, what you're all about. So it's so fun to be able to sit here with you and dive into your entrepreneurial journey. So let's start there. I know you've had many endeavors that I don't even know about. So tell me about them and really how it kind of led to Heart Rise Movement.
Absolutely. Well, I will say that I really believe that we all have this inner knowing, this guiding force. And there was always that within me. So I always had an entrepreneurial spirit, even as a young kid. As a young child, I was doing all kinds of projects. And, you know, my dad was in the clothing industry. So I would get t-shirts and tie-dye and making jeans. And I just had this very kind of innovative entrepreneurial spirit. Fast forward, I studied many different modalities and different things in university, and I was very curious. And that led into from film into communication. And then I went into, essentially, I started my own clothing line. So with many chapters in between, I won't get into all the details, but I started my own clothing line. And that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And there was a creative side to it. There was a connective side to it, which I really loved. But I really found that the sort of rat race of the industry and that sort of like continuous cycle of turning things out and just nonstop, some of that vision and that creative vision got lost in translation. And so what I found was when I shifted gears, what I realized and when I reflected, and this journey has continued to show me, is when I realized all the aspects that I really loved so much about having had that clothing line, because on the outside, it looked like super successful. You know, he had 400 stores and 6 showrooms and yada, yada. And it sounded fabulous. But on the inside, I was crying inside after, you know, 6 years in. I'm giving you the abbreviated version.
Sure.
After having had other agencies, design agencies, marketing, a lot of experience that led to that. But by the end, I was just at this point in my life where I'd built this thing and I realized, you know, this isn't really my heart and spirit. And I was just really, I felt forlorn. I felt like I'd built this big thing that was no longer really a reflection of what I had started with and that why, the heartbeat of who I was. And so that had been a guiding force for my whole journey. And what I came to realize is how much I loved inspiring others, working with creatives, working with entrepreneurs. That led into pursuing a coaching path, which in essence grew into consulting and speaking and workshops. And over the course of that journey, and that was a huge challenge to shift gears from having started a clothing line into coaching. You know, at each juncture, there was always that question of like, are you sure? Like, that's kind of crazy, starting a clothing line, or like then taking a big left turn and suddenly coaching. Like, but each one, there was a real conviction within. And so essentially, and again, I'm giving you super abbreviated, there's so much more to say. But the coaching continued to guide and support me in realizing that it was very much about that connectivity, that inspiration, that working with others that I loved so much. And the more I did, the more Heart Rise came into being, in essence. And it's a specific practice around listening to that inner vision, that heart vision. And it's really informed through many of my experiences working with others as a coach, with a lot of creatives, a lot of entrepreneurs, really consulting with companies and things along those lines, as well as studying so many modalities from Eastern traditions to the more Western approaches, and studying the science of the heart and really that being the epicenter. And that sort of brought me to Heart Rise. And again, I'm giving you like the supers.
Yeah, no,
there's so much to say.
But no, I think it's really brave and powerful when someone listens to the heart of what it is that they want and holds loosely to the form. And I think you had that journey where at one point you wanted this fashion career and it didn't end up resonating with your heart. So you shifted gears. And that is very brave too, pivoting and switching gears. And that's something our audience can really relate to, because they're in a space right now where a lot of them are leaving 9 to 5, something secure, and they're venturing off to something that is not as secure, but comes with a lot of rewards, of course. So can you talk a little bit about making the pivot? What was it like for you? Something to keep in mind?
Yeah. And thank you. I'd so honor those questions. They're all very valuable. And I know as an entrepreneur how it can seem daunting and fearful to take that leap from a 9 to 5 and sort of a stable environment with good pay and all these other perks, but to sort of really follow something deeper within. And what I would say, and the key piece always is listening to, you said it, that heart, that light within, and letting that lead. Because when that leads, it's fierce. And I call it the fuego or the heart power. When that is leading, it's not to say that fear won't come up. It does and it can, but it's how do we move through that And how do we allow for that guiding fierceness, that guiding power, that resonance that people respond to, by the way? The other piece that's so powerful is that things start to align. When we're in that aliveness, when we're leading with that light and that fuego, that conviction, we're unstoppable. It's only when all the doubt and the fears creep in that it can be dangerous, or that's where we tend to fall prey to what this one's doing or what that one's doing or how should I, and all the fear and the doubt and how that can happen. And so for me, it was always making sure to return back to what lit me up, the why, the heartbeat of it, which is what led me to even start the clothing line in the first place. You know, I wanted to inspire others through clothing and these lyrical, colorful collections. And as soon as that vision was lost in translation, I felt like I needed to shift back to the current, which was the why, which was my heartbeat, and listening to that and making sure that that informs whatever the creative entrepreneurial venture is. Because when that's in alignment, people come forth, you can inspire, you can create. It's amazing how much the universe responds to that kind of.
Sure. But of course, sometimes when you're listening to your heart and you're following your vision, other doubts and fears pop up. Like, is this sustainable? Is it going to last?
Right.
The roller coaster of entrepreneurship.
Yep.
It's just a given. Yep. So what advice do you have for dealing with those fears and doubts?
Yeah. Heart Rise. No, it's honestly, the truth is I bring Heart Rise into a lot of companies and with creatives and entrepreneurs because it's very much about that. It's literally recognizing the busy. So you're witnessing what is, because in order to be able to shift how we navigate, we need to really be noticing what we're leading, where we're leading from, and what is that directional interest and ultimately, what is the map and how are we following, and are we just following or are we leading? And so that question, moving out of what I call the head trip narrative, which is the busy, which can be the stress and the shoulds and the all those pressures that come up as fears, when you can recognize that and move through it, which is what I've found so powerful about the heart's energy, is there's actually an alchemical energy. There's an engine, if you will. And when you move through that, you can recognize it's not that the fears don't come up. You know, I hear this idea of being fearless, or we hear that it's great to be fearless, or it's talked about, but there's no such thing in my experience as being fearless. We all have fear, right?
Do you even have fears?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You can speak to a fear that sometimes pops up for you in your business specifically.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd say it's always just, you know, taking that leap each time, you know? So, I mean, even just launching out and beginning Heart Rise to begin with, or any of those, you know, at each juncture, starting my own clothing line, shifting into coaching. At each point, there was a fear. And when there's fear present, it's usually a great indicator that more is wanting to be revealed. And if it's not the right thing for us, we also get that instinct. We get that heart compass directive. And so the heart is your best guide. And it's just that we get so in the way of our noise and our busy with the mind. So it's, again, it's coming back to, it's recognizing that fear is not something to push away, but actually to embrace, and as I like to say, to move through it so you can repurpose that energy, because fear is just contracted energy. When you move through it, you can repurpose it and express it as your fuego, as your passion, as your creative juice, as your what you want to attract. So it's just how we move through it. It's not to push it away, but to embrace it.
One of the questions I often ask guests is, do you listen to your gut or research to make tough decisions? I'm going to guess that you say neither. You listen to your heart.
Well,
so if you could speak to how you do make those tough decisions, how do we tap into our heart and come from that place?
Yeah, well, I love it. And I'll say that the gut and the gut and the heart are connected. So the heart is the engine, if you will. They've measured the electromagnetic field of the heart as being the most powerful source within us. So it's powerful enough to light up a small city. So if you can just imagine we have that power available, that in essence is the generator for all of the other, everything else. So our gut and our heart and our intuitive sensibility is connected. So I definitely always will rely on that energetic wisdom that I believe guides us all. We're never taught how to harness it. So which is why it's so easy to subscribe to the noise, the hype, the stats, the this, the that. And if we listen to that, I mean, my experience is it may work for a minute, but it's not sustainable and it's not fulfilling at the end of the day. So I'm always about going with that intuitive knowing, that gut, that heartbeat. And how do I do it? I move through, and there's an actual four-step method with Heart Rise, how we really learn how to alchemize and move the energy so that you can be leading with that heart wisdom, that power, that source. And then it's just, you're unstoppable. Our radiance is contagious, as I like to say.
What does a typical week look like for you?
It varies. It really changes. So some days are more active engagement, working with others, working with groups, working with teams. I bring in HeartRise to corporate teams. So we do workshops and HeartStorm sessions and creative sessions. I work with everyone from sales teams to marketing teams to, you know, we'll do offsite team building. So I do some of that. So it varies. And then there's also creative development days and production days.
Well, we're going to talk about building your business when we come back. Sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Hello, this is Carrie Hall, America's healthcare advocate, with your health tip of the week. Gum disease. Gum disease is an infection of the tissues that surround and support your teeth. It is a major cause of tooth loss in adults. Because gum disease is usually painless, you may not even know you have it. Also referred to as periodontal disease, gum disease is caused by plaque. You know, that sticky film of bacteria that's constantly forming on your teeth. Here are some warning signs you need to know that can signal you may have a problem. Gums that bleed easily. Red or swollen tender gums, gums that have pulled away from the teeth, persistent bad breath or bad taste, permanent teeth that are loose or separating, any change in the way your teeth fit together when you bite, or any change in the fit of partials or dentures. These are all signals that you may have a problem and it may be gum disease. So if you've got any of these issues or you think you have them, go see your dentist now if you suspect you have gum disease, because the sooner you treat it, the better. That's the way you solve gum disease.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I am continuing my conversation with the founder of the HeartRise movement. So you touched on it a little bit earlier for how you got into this entrepreneurial endeavor, but really what's the idea and the inspiration behind HeartRise movement?
Yes, I love that. Thank you for asking. Well, HeartRise, so RISE stands for, it's an acronym for Radiant Integral Soul Energy. So it's like plugging into the power, quite literally, of your heart. And what I found in my journey as an entrepreneur, as a creative, as someone who was always curious and connecting with many people and traveling the world and living abroad and having different companies and consulting, was this connectivity, this real fluid current that exists amongst all of us, beyond boundaries, beyond corporate environments, in all different ways. We just, there is a synergy that connects us. And so HeartRise, I found that the heart was really a very powerful way to plug into that. And so working even as a coach for the years that I have, and essentially I still do, but now I do it in a bigger scale with bigger communities and companies, was that how do we bring it back to that energetic wisdom, which is really what the HeartRise practice is about. It's plugging into that energy source, that power source. And with that, you can guide, you can lead, you can cooperate, you can collaborate, you can create. And it's a simple, very modern method. It's four simple steps, you know, so it's really easy to practice. You can do it on the fly if something triggers you, or if you're going in for a big presentation, or you want to have a big, I like to call them HeartStorm sessions, these creative sessions where you're, you know, really visioning into something. So it can really support you in a practical way, in a modern way.
Yeah, and obviously us being a business show for our entrepreneurs, yeah, it can really, really help, yeah, your work culture, the connection between employees, yes, collaboration, creativity, a lot, yes, of benefits there. So is it something where you could share the four steps,
yes,
in a nutshell?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
what,
yes,
are those four steps,
so the
in a
four,
nutshell?
The four super simple steps are, the first one is with heart vision, I see. So what you're doing is you're witnessing. So as you were saying before, like we were talking about fear or whatever might creep up, as an entrepreneur, as a creative, if you're coming up with a new idea or you're visioning out a new, you know, the different phases or the, you know, the year ahead and whatever that may be, the first step is with heart vision, I see. So you're witnessing what's there. So whether it's something you're calling in or it's something you're releasing or wanting to get rid of a block or a fear, you're witnessing. So the first step is with heart vision, I see. You're becoming energetically aware through the heart. I'm simplifying. The second step is with heart focus, I feel. So we're actually letting the feelings breathe rather than containing and contracting them. Because one of the reasons fear and all of that become so prevalent is because we're holding so much inside. So it's that contracted energy. When we feel through, we heal through. So you move the energy and then it doesn't have its hold on us. So as entrepreneurs, as powerhouses, you want to let that energy move. So just by feeling it, you don't need to analyze it and overthink it and get doubtful about it and dubious and stressed out and anxious. You just feel it. So second step is feeling. With heart focus, I feel. Third step, with heart knowing, which is strengthening the heart, I free. So that's where, as an entrepreneur, that leap that we're often presented, that fork in the road or that big decision or that big courageous move you have to make, by freeing, by letting the heart's energy go and opening it, you actually learn to move with the fourth step, which is with heart wisdom, I flow. And that's when you start to connect with this energy that literally is the energy that connects us. Everything is energy. So you're guided. You feel it. You meet someone new. They're putting out vibes. It's a good intuitive hit. You get that energetic read. We don't realize it because we're so busy judging and in our heads, but you walk into a space, you feel energy. You know, we are constantly attuning to vibes and energy. And as entrepreneurs, it's our best guiding wisdom. But most of us are busy head tripping. So when you instead are aligned with that energy, so it's see, feel, free, flow. And essentially, you're just activating the engine of your heart. You're igniting your heart's power. You're plugging into that electricity, which can...
So flow is more so the plug-in of the
flow
energy.
Activates it. So seeing, witnessing is recognizing something might be blocked or you want to let go of something or you want to call something in or you're bringing in a big idea or you have some vision. Mm-hmm. So it's seeing, witnessing. The second step is feeling. So I call that, it's like activating, igniting the engine or the heart fire. So you're feeling it. You're letting it be felt. So you don't need to think about it. You just feel what's there. So if it's fear, or if it's excitement, but you're letting the feelings move, because the reason we're so afraid of the heart is because we don't really know how to work with that energy. You know, we're so programmed to think an open heart is like, you know, or surrender. These ideas are so like fearful, like they bring up fear, but it's just because we're holding so much. If you let the feelings move, they don't hold you hostage anymore.
Let's talk about hiring, because you work with many companies. Some of them are massive and how wildly successful. So what advice would you have for a company on their journey to hire the right type of employees? I'm guessing you wouldn't say it's just based upon their resume or even their necessarily their personality. Yeah. But what can they look for to make sure that they're incorporating this heartfelt characteristic?
Yes, I love it. Well, again, I would say the energy, right? So, and I actually in the workshop this morning, we were laughing because we had a full house, we were chatting, and I just said, you know, you can meet someone and they can talk a good game. They can write books about it. And at the end of the day, if their energy isn't matching up with this, like the CV or the resume, if the energy isn't aligning and they don't speak to an authenticity, and that's, again, that's, it's vibes, it's intuitive. So, you know, I do work with HR teams and hiring and, you know, we do a lot of team building and work in that nature, of that nature, and myself also bringing in different people on the team as we're growing it globally. And I've always really looked at, first of all, what are the gifts? What lights people up in that particular realm? Because we're not all queued up to do all things. Mm-hmm. And when somebody's put in a box that isn't their jam, they're not going to succeed. They're not going to thrive. And so making sure that somebody is doing what it is that they're great at, what they're gifted at, and checking in on that. So they may even be going for a certain job, let's say, but that may not be aligned, but they may be suited for something else. And just paying attention to what lights someone up. So it's really watching again that energy and how somebody's inspired and then obviously looking at their experience and all those things. But it's more the experience for me than all the credentials and all of this, because that's a lot of insecurity and ego for me. I mean, I'm more interested in how somebody shows up and their passion and how they, and then resourcefulness is big, but that also comes with the energy. So witnessing how somebody shows up in the moment and how they respond to things and, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure. Lastly, how do you hope to disrupt the status quo in business and beyond?
Well, I'm doing it, girl.
Yeah.
You know, bringing more heart to the mix. I mean, living and leading heartfully. I really believe that emotional intelligence, as we're catching wind, I mean, that's sort of the trendy way to say it. And it's, I mean, it's legit. I mean, it's learning to strengthen the wisdom of our heart is everything as far as I'm concerned. We're so caught up with sort of academia and I'm not dismissing anything about academic intelligence. It's brilliant. And we're, you know, that the mind
has its place.
So important. And as service, as being of service to the heart's wisdom. So that's what I've really come to understand. It's just how do we learn to lead instead with an intuitive knowing and letting that lead. So in the workplace, in, you know, and again, I bring this to big companies, it's just how can we build? Because if you have teams that work together and teams that are inspired by each other, we can change the world, like legitimately. And I see it happening. So it's really integrating that heartful piece in ways that move people, like individuals, treating them well, supporting them, feeling that connectivity. And then once you build that with, you know, starting small and growing it in that way, because I often see companies that grow too quickly and they lose the initial heartbeat of what got them going. And it's really making sure to tend to the people as you grow, keeping that connective spirit, and then empowering people to activate and honor their gifts and their light and supporting them, seeing them, shining that light back, saying, I see you and I really appreciate you. Because so often we're undervalued.
Thank you for sharing your heart wisdom with us today.
Pleasure.
I know that you will have touched many entrepreneurs watching and listening.
My pleasure.
So thank you.
We
are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Our lives are made up of millions of moments, and a new app called We Are Stars is looking to celebrate these milestones in our lives on a device that you always have with you and wrapped up in a beautiful presentation. We have its founder on the line, Dave Golikoff.
Things like birthdays, the New Year's, holidays, these are things that are big in our lives. And then when you start to look back and think, how many birthdays do I actually remember? Where was I for New Year's 3 years ago? On the website or the app, you see your whole life on one page. You can input moments being photos, being videos, you know, recipes, childhood things. It's essentially a digital calendar. And as you add moments, a star is created on that grid to denote that you have saved something there.
Search for We Are Stars, that's WERSTARS, at your favorite app store.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And I have two rock stars today. We've got Jeanann Grubbs and Abby Lewis Evans, co-founders of Our One Agency. Thanks so much for stopping by, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. So tell me, what is Our One Agency?
So basically, we're a new media marketing agency. So we came from the world of big branding, advertising, doing a little bit of everything, and branched off about a year ago and started something that's really tailored for advertising today and now in 2017. So we do a lot of social media marketing, influencer marketing is a big part of it, content production, strategy, branding, all that good stuff.
And this is the future of marketing. And if you are an entrepreneur watching or listening and you're not incorporating this into your business yet, you probably should, right? Tell me a little bit about why this is so important, because it's the future.
Yeah, it's a lot of bigger agencies come from a world of more of the traditional form of advertising. Mm-hmm, and it's really hard for them to just completely switch gears and focus on how quickly everything's changing. And I mean, there used to be, you know, five channels or five avenues that you would advertise on. It's like print, TV, maybe out of home. And then digital started coming in, and then social came in, and then influencer marketing came in, and just everything changed. So basically now there's millions of channels you can advertise on. So everyone is an outlet. So it's really just interesting getting brands to understand how to navigate that space and how to successfully do it, because it changes every day.
And I think it can feel very overwhelming for brands because it's like the wild, wild west. But at the same time, there's so much opportunity in the digital space that there wasn't in those other avenues.
Right.
And, you know, for example, you can measure performance and results a lot better online. Can you speak to that a little bit?
And the high frequency of everything going on today allows for, you know, on the fly optimization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you can remain relevant through always turning and pivoting with either your audience or the relevant space that the world is in, you know, it's a better human to human connection that your brand can make with your consumers instead of throwing out a TV ad and then just waiting for everything to trickle in.
It's definitely more real time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be like, we'll do it and we'll optimize and we'll get data learning later. But you can tell immediately now when you post something if it's doing well or not, because yep. people gravitate towards it or they don't. And then if it's not doing well, you can take it down and optimize.
And they have the opportunity to react quickly, either via comments, engagements, you know, good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes less time and money mm-hmm. to yep. see what works. You can test something and put it out there.
Less money is key because I think a lot of brands, smaller brands, so obviously the mega brands we work for and they have bigger budgets, but there's smaller startup brands too that don't have big budgets that we really, really, really encourage to play in this mm-hmm. space
and because it's a playing field for them too.
Yeah, they can get so much for their money. So the ROI for... You could take a small brand and spend just a few thousand dollars on influencer marketing, but you're able to pick the most influential person, the most authentic person that is needed for that brand. And they're going to go so much further with that $2,000 than trying to play anywhere else where they're just blasting it out.
Yeah. And both of you have a marketing background. Can you each individually tell me a little bit about your history in this space?
Sure. It's been... It's been a shared journey, I'd say, of just big agency experience, both from the account service side of things, which is the liaison between creative, you know, in internal departments and your clients. So as that role, you know, having grown up in the ad world that we both did over the past, you know, decade plus to age ourselves, you know, we learned a little bit about everything and seeing how it plays out from a strategy point of view in clients' reactions, their business needs, mm-hmm. and learning how to curate a way to solve that business need, only knowing what the problem is. So being a solutions-oriented department.
Yeah, we actually both worked at the same ad agency back in Dallas. That was a digital interactive shop at the time in 2006 or something. And it was it was like banner ads, right? So it was like the invention of like digital marketing. So that was kind of where I fell in love with like the digital side. And then it's just so funny now, fast forward 10, 11 years where it is now. And then came out to LA, been at big agencies out here working on the big brands, like Abby was saying, on account strategy side and digital and social media. So we basically had that under our belts and knew that we saw an opportunity where the industry was moving to really try to start something that tailored specifically to where the industry was moving and get away from some of those more traditional agencies.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine in your industry and in a lot of industries, there's this constant push and pull between traditional avenues, but then keeping up and evolving as well. So you obviously are evolving into the digital space and you saw a trend and you acted on it. Mm-hmm. So what made you go, you know what, this is where it's going and then I want to be a part of it?
For me, it was a couple years ago, I worked on a big Super Bowl campaign at the agency I was at. And influencer marketing was a big part of that campaign. And I realized with Super Bowl, people were spending so much money on to be, you know, their 60-second, 30-second spot in that. And then there's like kind of this whole other side that became equally in years to come more important than the actual 30-second, 60-second TV spot. And I was playing in that space and just seeing that it was, like you said, the Wild West. And there were so many opportunities to win the Super Bowl in that space. So I think in my background, of course, was always in social. And I just saw, I was like, it's only going to continue to be that path. And I really want to just like capitalize on it now and see what happens.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, mine comes from just, I want to do something different every day, all the time, and have it always be so fresh. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of where I was thriving in my, you know, joy and passion in what I was doing leading up to that and the opportunity to do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Just sounded like, you know, heaven. So.
And work for ourselves.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Sure. You guys have been in business for what, a year?
1 year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, is that when you...
hit our heads and decided this was a good idea.
did you immediately quit your full-time jobs or did you kind of make the transition slowly?
Cold turkey.
Band-aid right off.
Okay. So tell me about that. Let's go back to when you made the decision. How did you... Yeah.
Hour one. hour one of hour one.
Yes, hour one of hour one. When you made the decision, what were some of those first steps you took? Maybe both mentally and literally.
Right. It was terrifying.
It was. I mean, we had an opportunity to jump on, and you know, it required us stepping out on our own, which was terrifying and exciting all at the same time. And so, I mean, you know, sometimes you just need those things to help you feel like there's a sign and that you should take advantage of it.
So what was the sign? What was the opportunity?
There was just a big project for us to work on that we could throw our hat in the ring as an agency of our own.
So, yeah. And it was, there was all these little moments along the way that were just like, every time I would go to bed at night and be like, this is crazy. I need to keep my job. It's super secure. My job's amazing. I love the team. I love what I do. And same with Abby. So it's like, I would wake up the next morning and something happened that would show, be like, push us in that direction to do it. So it was just all these little mini signs of, you know, just things coming together or people coming on board to help us and say, I want to help you pitch this. And because I believe in this too. So every time like someone came on board and said, I'm in too, let's do this. It was just like
just confirmation. Yeah, that it was the right thing.
It was all these little things that just, and everyone I talked to in my network, every time I was like, this is crazy. People were like, this is, you have to do this. It was just, I had so, we had so much support and so many people, you know, it's like pushing us over to that, knowing that we could, if we just didn't question it too much. So, and we didn't actually get that first project, which is funny because that it now looking back was a blessing in disguise. We were able to pivot and go for a lot of other types of work that we wouldn't have been able to. And so, you know, it's like everything happens for a reason.
Oh, wow.
And perseverance is name of the game.
Perseverance.
So when that first project fell through, what did you guys do?
You know, just dusted ourselves off and thought, well, what are our dream accounts? What would we always say we wanted to work on, whether we got to or, you know, didn't get to in our former life now at the big agencies? Because we're past that now. And so what's our dream? What do we want to work on? Let's do it. Let's go after it. And we have and did and will continue to.
Still doing? It was weird. It was a weird feeling because, you know, I think we, in my mind, it was like this or nothing. And so then when it didn't work, it was, I didn't have a back, we didn't have a backup. We weren't like, well, now. So it was that hustle mentality of like sink or swim. It's like, we've already created the name, the brand. We know what we stand for. We know what we want. We are to a point where, you know, we have a lot of great connections and network of people. So let's get out there and hustle. And that's just, I mean, it was literally sink or swim. We had gone to that point where the Band-Aid had been ripped off. So if we had kept our jobs and pitched that and didn't win it, the security blanket would have been our jobs and we would have just stayed. So it's good
we
that...
We missed out on everything that's happened in the last year, which has been a mix of, you know, terrifying and insecure with immense highs and pride.
Yeah.
So... It's crazy.
Great story, ladies. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about their journey of making it in that first year and also influencer marketing because they are experts in this area. So much more with the co-founders of One Hour Agency. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Remember, it's all about the customer. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. The customer is always right. You've heard that before. It's the backbone of customer service. But let's go beyond that. The customer is the backbone of your business. Happy customers buy more products, endorse your service, and most importantly, bring more customers by word of mouth recommendations. So how do you keep your customer happy and satisfied, returning over and over and giving you that personal endorsement? It's simple. Understand their needs, know them personally, and connect with them. Understanding their needs, put yourself in your customer's position to better understand your product, your service, and how to improve it. Know them personally, connect with them, talk to them, not at them, listen to them, and create real relationships. Know their birthdays even, and on that special day, send them a message. Remember, it's all about the customer, and they deserve the very best you have to offer. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is Business Rockstars. Rockstars.
question. Do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Creeble.
A woman in Philadelphia having an argument with her boyfriend in a restaurant got so angry she threw a soft drink at him. Then, as she was storming away, she slipped on the wet floor and broke her tailbone. Never mind that the floor was wet because of the drink she herself had thrown. She was still so angry she decided to sue. She did not sue the boyfriend because he didn't have any money. She sued the restaurant for having a wet floor. A jury ordered the restaurant to pay her $113,000. Her medical bills were real, of course, but does that make the business owner responsible? Looking through the lens of liberty, if we see any law-abiding citizen being held liable for the bad behavior of another, it ought to make us all angry, and we should do something about it.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. We've got two rock stars for you today. We've got Jean Ann Grubbs and Abby Lewis Evans, co-founders of Our One Agency. So we were talking about how you guys are experts in influencer marketing.
Yes.
So for those who this is brand new to them, explain what is influencer marketing, first of all.
Well, it basically came up, about 5 years ago, early beginnings, but over the last 2 years, it's just everywhere and all over the place. But it's taking influential people within their own perspective or own respective rights and avenues and areas and partnering with brands to kind of get a product out there and talk about a product that fits organically with what that influencer does. So it could be anything from fashions. I think one of the biggest categories.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fashion
makeup
influencers, but... but also it can be, education or science or
tech
or, someone that has like a hobby or interest that they share. It can be collecting things or certain films or anything like that. And they become an advocate and a person that has credibility in what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they have a niche audience, which is a unique opportunity that didn't exist before, where you can connect with a very, very specific audience. Of course, the people that you want to be connecting with through the avenue of, like you said, somebody credible.
Yes.
So how do you determine whether or not somebody is an influencer or not?
Well, that depends on a few factors, and it's always a little bit different and takes a little bit of a different eye into it depending on what the brand wants out of it or if it's a specific reason for looking for this influencer. So you can find an influencer based on solely numbers. Maybe if you're looking for awareness within a certain audience, you can find an influencer more based on high engagement. If you are looking to maybe push a product or promote sales of something, just knowing that they have an audience that is actually not only watching what they do, but doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. What can a business realistically expect from doing influencer marketing? Is it more for awareness or is it more for sales or
And awareness is great, but you can also get awareness on like a much broader level. I mean, TV or something, a traditional forum for this space, because, you know, you're not like buying impressions necessarily. What you're trying to do is make a really natural pairing. So if you're selling a, you know, a beverage of some sort, find someone that, you know, in what they create and in what they post, that is a, you know, works really naturally in. Or if it's like, if it's a tool and you're working with someone that is building things every single day, like the tool brand should be working with that person because they're already using your products. And so for awareness, that's great because you can get that. But I think the not seeing the product in action and seeing the product and use how an average person would be using it is where brands are really going
to
win.
So you really have to strategically pick the influencer that you're going to work with, which I'm sure you help these brands
do. The identification process is the most important thing. So what we do is we look at the objectives of the brand and we look at the product they're trying to get in the hands of consumers and what they're trying to achieve. So their demographics, all of that, obviously part of the process of picking the right person. And then we find the most influential people that have that hit on those demographics and hit on, you know, something that doesn't feel like a departure for the brand, you know. So it's, again, something very seamless. Yeah. You work it in. Yeah, and fashion, I think, is a big part. You know, find someone that is just always giving style tips and things like that and work in your product in that sort of way. You know, I think the forced ones can backfire. So if you're throwing something towards an audience that sees you just kind of like sponsored posts, it just feels like you're not really winning.
It's authentic, and that's really all you're going for with using influencer marketing is an authenticity, right. A true fan of the brand using it that just so happens to have a ton of fans of themselves.
And we also try to find people that are advocates for the brand, so that the brand may not even know about. So we find someone that flies a certain airline all the time and vlogs every time they're getting on that airline and so excited to be on that airline. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this airline needs to be working with this person, as opposed to finding someone that actually never flies their airline or something like that.
And then it's just fake.
And then it's fake and their audience doesn't care and it doesn't work.
So how do you naturally create content to bridge that gap between the brand and the influencer?
We work with them because they're the best. They know their audience the best. So they are experts at knowing what works on their channel. So you have to listen to them and have to create how they want to create. The brand doesn't really get that. They can give do's and don'ts and some guidelines, but they can't really say, can you post this for me? And if you do that, you're basically just buying impressions. If the brand creates something, the influencer just posted, it's not a true, but it's not how it works best.
That's so true, because for some influencers, a still photo does great. Mm-hmm. Maybe a selfie does great. Mm-hmm. For some influencers, a video does better. Like every influencer has a very different audience.
Or speaking about a certain aspect of said product or brand, you know, in their own right, and just giving them that creative liberty is going to go so much further and in a natural way that the audience doesn't feel like they're being sold to, because I think that's the opposite of what they want, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you guys work a ton with social media, obviously, both with influencers and without. Is there something that you've learned when it comes to specifically marketing that does well versus doesn't do well?
It's so funny. There's like, if everyone thinks they have the secret sauce, right, to what shares or what goes viral or what works. And there are ways to know what, you know, there's analytics, there's data, there's things we can know for sure. It's like, we should be putting some money here and there and with this place. But it's really, it's a test and learn space for sure. It's optimizing constantly and not getting disappointed when something doesn't perform well, because that's valuable information that we need to know.
Nothing's a failure if you learn from it, right?
Yeah. I love it. And on that note, thank you so much. Congratulations on all
thank
of your
you.
Successes and
Thanks.
Your first year of business.
I know.
For sharing the lessons learned. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Co-founders of Our One Agency, and we are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.